All right, so today we're going to talk a little bit about judgments. And again, this kind of stems from a couple weeks ago when Gary did his devotion in here and talking about, you know, being naked.
I'm like,
you knew it was, huh? And, but, you know, there are going to be people standing before the judgment seat of Christ, and they have been saved, but they never did anything for the Lord, and they are going to be ashamed. And they're not going to have the righteousness of a person that did serve the Lord and did obey Him and did live for Him. It's going to be noticeable. And you think, okay, so no big deal. So, you know, a little smack on the hand and we're fine. No, that will go on through eternity. So our service here somehow is going to show up in our life in heaven throughout eternity. And so we don't want to take it lightly. Okay? And so I want to talk about judgments in the Bible. This is one of these things that I think you guys need to write in your Bible. We went through the mysteries. And the Bible tells us, God's Word says, He wants us to know and to teach the mysteries. But we also need to learn and know the judgments. Nobody we don't really want to talk about judgments, but, you know, the biblical definition of a judgment is the decree given by God to a person or a nation based on their obedience to His commands. Now, that's my definition. You can word that however you want. But is the decree given by God to a person or nation based upon their obedience to God's commands. Okay? And so, yeah, write that down. There'll be a test later. No, there won't. And so, what does the Bible say about judgments? Well, they're all over the place. Okay? Let's just look at a few places. The righteous statutes and commandments of God are called His judgments in Psalms 119. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 13 and 14. Yes, I do. There should be a few more back by Sharon. I could have gave you mine. Okay. So, I told you to go to Ecclesiastes, right? Me a minute to get there. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verses 13 and 14. And I know you guys know this verse. And Solomon writes this and he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Now, how many of you have heard that? Or read that, or quoted that. All of us, probably. Verse 14. "For God shall bring every work into what? Judgment. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So God's going to bring everything to a judgment. To a lost person, to a saved person. It's all going to be judged. Okay? And so, do you realize that judgments are prepared for sinners? Okay, so sinners are going to be judged. Of course, we know that. But go over to Proverbs chapter 19. Not too far off. Chapter 19 and verse 29. I can't read my notes. I said sinners. It's actually scorners. It says, I have problems myself. "Judgments are prepared for scorners and stripes for the back of fools." Okay? So we can go through the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, some of these things that, you know, the wisdom books, and it talks about judgments. Okay? The Father has committed all judgment to his son. Now, who am I talking about here? Who's the son? So God has given all judgment to who?
Jesus.
To Jesus. Okay, so turn over to John chapter 5 and verse 22. Chapter 5 and verse 22. In fact, let's back up just to get the context to verse 17. And this is when Jesus had taken a man that and did a miracle on him. And I won't get into all that. And the Jews are all upset about it. Verse 17, we're going to pick it up. But Jesus answered them, says, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, because he healed this man on the Sabbath. Oh my, you can't do that. Right. But said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Okay, strike two, man. Right? Then answered Jesus and said to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do." That should be strike number three. He says, hey, I can't do it unless God's in me. So, you know, if they're upset with Jesus, they're upset with God. Well, he is God, so hang with me.
He's saying that he sees God and they can't see God.
Yeah, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Okay? Which is, again, look at all the miracles that Jesus did, and yet they want to kill him. That's standard procedure. We can't figure you out. We don't want to work with you, so we just kill you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the mentality. We're like, what's going on here? Verse 21, for as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Verse 22, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Okay? So I'll just stop there. So all power, okay, so all judgment has been given to Jesus, right? That's what it says. He's committed all judgment unto the Son. Well, let me give you one more verse, just to see how that works. Go over to Matthew 28. To the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28. The Great Commission starts in 19, but I want to back up to verse 18. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. So, all power is given to Jesus so he can execute all judgment. The judgment's not going to do any good if you don't have the power. But you get them both. So all the power has been given to Jesus, and he's going to be the one who pronounces judgment. Okay? So, okay. I'm talking to the choir here. But these are just some things I wanted to get out before I really talk about judgments in the Bible. So there are seven main judgments that we can see. We can find more than that, but we like to do everything in sevens. Okay, seven mysteries, seven this, seven that. And because seven is what? It's a complete number. It's a perfect number. And, you know, that's why people call it, there's another name that even lost people call seven. And what do they call it?
Lucky.
Lucky seven. Okay. They don't even realize what they're talking about. But it's because it is a perfect number in the Bible. God does things in sevens. And so number one, our judgment on Calvary's cross as a sinner. That's the first judgment that I'm going to talk about. Okay? And we see that in Isaiah 53 verse 5. And you're like, okay, so our judgment, we can even see it back in the Old Testament. Which actually goes back to everybody, not just us, but also the Jews in the Old Testament. Okay, so let's get there. Isaiah 53. And I think we're going to read the whole chapter once I get there. Isaiah 53. How many of you all write in your Bible? Any of you? Okay, a few of you do. You got this page all marked up? You should. Okay. Not that one? Okay. Okay. So let's just go through this because, and we're going to talk about who this is. Starting off in verse 1, it says, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Isaiah speaking here. He goes, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root." Now let me just tell you, that root is Christ. That's who they're talking about here. Okay? "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Okay? So, Christ is not some supermodel. He's just an average looking dude, kind of like me. Nobody laughed, but okay.
More hair.
More hair? How do you know?
More hair.
How do you know he has more hair? Yeah. So. Okay. But it's not like he's not a movie star, basically, okay? Verse 3, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him," who are we talking about again?
Jesus.
Christ, Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." Now what's another word for iniquity?
Sin.
Sin. Okay. Verse 7, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied by his knowledge. And shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors." Okay? So our judgment is placed on Christ when he was on Calvary. Okay, so basically our judgment, the judgment that should be ours, was placed on Jesus. And it was foretold in the Old Testament. Several hundred years. I have to go back and look at Isaiah. My southern roots popped out there for a minute. How far that is in front of Christ, 760 to 698. So we're talking 700 plus years before Christ. It's prophesied that it's going to happen, that Jesus is going to do this, that there is a man going to do it. Nobody knew who it was, but it's Christ. So our iniquities was already prophesied to be put on him, and he paid for our sins. He's paid the judgment for us. Okay? So that's the most important judgment for a Christian. That's the most important judgment out of all seven of these for us. Because instead of paying for our sins, Jesus already paid for them. Hallelujah. Amen. We should be hooping and hollering, okay? So that's our judgment. Okay? Yeah, let me get back to it. I have 760 to 698 Isaiah. And again, these are not set in stone. They're just approximate.
I never had any time frame for it.
So, Jesus being perfect died in our place. And if you notice, when we went through those, that chapter back in Isaiah 53, you saw several things that Jesus fulfilled when he was crucified. You know, and where they laid him and all that was in this passage here. Let me get back to where I'm at. I shouldn't have closed my book up so fast. So, the Jews believe that this passage, this chapter, is talking about the nation of Israel. And because Israel is God's son in a corporate sense, which is true, but yet there are things in here that can't relate to a nation because it talks about he, in the grave, he. I mean, over and over and over, and it's like you're stretching it quite a bit when you're trying to say this is the nation of Israel. If you want to be honest, we're talking about a person here, not the nation, okay? And so our judgment is placed on Christ, and it was given here back in the Old Testament. Christ, our Lamb, our Passover. I mean, you can just tie this in. It just completely fits with what Christ did for us and with the gospel. Okay. And chapter 54 of Isaiah starts off, I'm just going to throw some notes in my Bible that I have here. Starts off with seeing old Barren. So that's interesting. This guy just got killed and now they're singing. Well, when Christ died, now we have something to sing about. Okay? Completely different about my parents. And they said, you know, you keep doing this and we'll give you something. You keep crying, we'll give you something to cry about. There's a judgment that took place on this person and now we have something to sing about. Okay? And so, the gospel is foretold back in Isaiah 53:5. Of course, we can go to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 and see what the gospel is, that Jesus died for us. Our sins were put on him. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. Okay? So, number one, judgment. Our judgment on Calvary's cross as a sinner. Okay? So, number two is our judgment as a son of God. Okay? So let's go to 1 John 1:9 and let's read that. In fact, when somebody gets there, would they read that for me?
We confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Okay. So when we accept Christ as our Savior and we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so the thing that we need to realize is that once judgment number one was our judgment as a sinner, but judgment number two is going to be God starts dealing with you as a son. And 1 John 1:9 is probably not the best verse to use for that. But 1 John 1:9 is basically how we keep that relationship going. But now God looks at us differently. God looks at us not as a sinner. He's looking at us as a son. And that's going to lead right up to our next judgment. The moment you're saved, God never sees you as a sinner anymore. Hallelujah. Because in his eyes, Christ has paid for your sins. Past, even the sin you're going to do tomorrow. Our sins were all placed on Christ when he died for us. He paid for all of them. For the whole world. Not just ours, but everybody's. That was the power that he has. And so our judgment as son is changed here is the moment you're saved, God never sees you as a sinner, and now he's going to deal with you as a son, and he's going to chastise us according to Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. So God's going to, his judgment on us now as a son is he's going to reprimand us. And I've had people ask me, well, how does he do that? And let me just say, in various ways. Okay? In ways that pertain to you and the situation that you're in. God has his methods to wake us up.
It's not disobedience. It's not sin in his eyes. You're being disobedient as a child. Right?
But even when we sin, we Christians still sin.
Right, we still sin, but he looks at it now. He doesn't look at it as we're sinners. We're disobedient children.
Yes, he does. So now he looks at it as not obeying and being disobedient, and but he sees us now as a son. The judgment's been paid, but he's going to discipline. That's a better word than disciple, than judges at that point. Does that make sense?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Your children, when they're disobedient,
you discipline.
You discipline them.
You don't look at them as you're a sinner.
Right. And I'm going to command this judgment on you because you sinned. You're right. So he's going to look at us as a son, and he's going to discipline us in the way that he wants. Now that discipline can get very strong at times. Yes, Roger.
If you're walking with him and disobedient, he'll start off just by using your conscience to get you to repent.
Okay. Yeah, he'll make it miserable for you. Then he'll start doing things in your life that start going AWOL, and he'll increase the pressure. Right. And all the way to the point where he may take you home. So, but he looks at us not as a sinner, but as a son at this point. And then number three, our judgment at the judgment seat of Christ. Now that's where Gary was at a few weeks ago talking about this. And so here we're going to get judged as for our service. And I think we all know that, but let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. It says. Yes. Now, if any man build upon... No. Yep. For other foundation, am I in the right spot? Can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So when we stand before Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, he's just going to look at us. And his eyes are going to hit we got some verses that his eyes are like a flaming fire. And he'll just see through us. He'll see our works and our the things that we have done that wasn't good will get burned up. And the only thing that's going to last is what we did for him, the service we did with the right attitude. It's all about attitude at this point, and our service to him, and we'll stay. Okay? So, he'll see us now. He looks at us in this judgment as a servant. So, we went from a sinner to a son, and now to a servant. Okay? And rewards will be given. Okay? It also depends on by what authority do we submit our works. Okay? So a lot of it is our attitude. Again, I'll just talk about myself. when I'm cleaning the toilets and I'm not having a good attitude, like, and here's how I do it, and I know I've said this before, because, but I think you probably all fit in. Why am I only one here cleaning the toilet today? Why am I this? Why am I that? God's like, whatever you do is a service. Whether you're teaching a class, whether you're mowing the yard, whether you're cleaning in a toilet, whether you're only one here, whether there's 100 people here. What's your attitude?
And he's saying, because, Bob, you're saying the same thing all over and over again.
I know.
You've got to learn from this.
Yeah, you need to wake up, Bob, and realize it's not just your service, not just you doing the work, it's your attitude while you're doing the service. And so if we have the wrong attitude, it's not going to count the way that it should. In other words,
next week when I'm cleaning the toilets,
can't be a negative fancy.
Just, you got to think happy thoughts when you're cleaning the toilets. I don't know. It's just. Now that's an extreme case. It could be anything. It could be, you could be, what I'm trimming. This is, must be the 500,000th World Cup I'm trimming. So I got it trimmed off a little bit. No big deal. It'll be all right. God's like, attitude needs a little adjustment here. Or you're like, oh, that'll get by. Just, you know. But we've tried to pick up our Bibles and the things we do to a higher quality. It used to be just, it's good enough. It's good enough. It's going to a third world country. So what? It's got a tear in it. So what? It's got, no. We're talking about God's Word. What is our attitude towards God's Word? Would you give that track? Would you give that Bible to Jesus if he walked in here? No, I'd actually go through them. Let's find a good one. Okay. I remember Al Braelig walked into the armory 4 or 5 months ago, and we were starting a project. And it was probably the Albanian Bibles, I guess. And he picks one up. He's looking at it. And he goes, "You going to send this one out?" You know, he's kind of rough, kind of gruff. That's why I'm probably getting along with him. "You going to send this Bible out?" I looked at it. I get caught looking it all over. And he goes, "It's upside down." I'm like, I felt about that small. Probably won't be sending that one out. So that's why I've tried to really work on that boxing in to make sure we don't have any upside down, because it happens. But I'm going to try to do the best we can with the best attitude we can, because look at the results, look at the rewards that we'll get. Not necessarily the rewards. Now, we want to do it for rewards, but at the same time, it really boils back to our attitude. What's the attitude? You know, when you realize people are getting saved because we're putting Bibles together and shipping them to another world, a lot of times it's easier for the people in the third world to get saved than it is people here. And I'm like, in fact, that kind of gives me motivation. It's kind of like, well, we're sending Bibles to all these different places, but their hearts seem to be more open than the people right here in the United States. And so it's our attitude. Okay, it's our attitude. So we're going to be judged not just for our service, but our attitude while we are serving the Lord. Okay, let's keep moving. Number 4, God's judgment on the nation of Israel. Now, I don't have a lot of notes, I don't think, on your handout here. So, we could go to Revelation. Let me give you a couple of verses. Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 4 through 7. Yep, Jeremiah 30, 4 through 7. Matthew 24, 21 through 31. The whole point of the judgment of the nation of Israel, the tribulation, is to get the Jews to wake up and come back to Christ.
What was the Matthew reference?
The Matthew reference is chapter 24, verses 21 to 31. Okay. Now, let me give you one more verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 tells us the church is not appointed unto wrath, so the church will not go through the tribulation. It's specifically for the Jews. And I know you all know that.
Is this a reference for part 4 there?
Yes.
Church judgment?
Yeah, God's judgment on the nation of Israel, the tribulation. That is a judgment. Boy, you talk about stuff hitting the fan. The tribulation is going to be so bad that I don't even see how anybody makes it through. I mean, it's just terrible. It's going to be to the point where I used to have this attitude where, you know, just don't take the mark and you'll be okay. No. Once you hit the tribulation, if you haven't accepted Christ, you're saved, you're done. Because you'll believe a lie. And you're going to just follow right along. So you can't trust in people to wake up in the tribulation and get saved. There will be people getting saved, but I would not trust anything on that. That should not be like your
default.
Yes, I like that. So yeah, I wasn't for sure, you know, if the church is going out or not, but if not, the tribulation comes and I see the beast come and the mark, I just don't take the mark. No. Don't even get to that point, because if you do, you'll get sucked in and you'll go out. You will be judged at that point. So, God's judgment on the nation of Israel will be in the tribulation. Let me see if I have any more notes to give you. I think that's all I have right now. So this is not an in-depth study. This is just kind of what I have notes in my Bible. So the next judgment is God's judgment on the Gentile nations. Okay, now this judgment will take place at His second coming. So when Christ comes back, He's going to have a judgment. And I'll give you a verse for that. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. The people who helped the Jews during the tribulation will pass through this judgment. God's going to help those people that helped the Jews if you live through the tribulation, number one. And they will get a clear pass to go into the millennium. Kind of interesting. Psalms chapter 83, 6 through 10, talk about the goat nations. And that'll be another reference in the Old Testament.
86.
Psalms chapter 83, 6 through 10. It's talking about the goat nations. And then number 6 on our list is the judgment of angels. Okay? Did you not? And now this will take place along with number 7 at the great white throne. And you'll see that in Revelation 20 and verse 10. The fallen angels are judged. One third of the angels make up the unclean spirits. Revelation 13 tells us that Satan took a third of the angels with him. And let me give you some references. Ezekiel chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 14. Jude chapter 6. I think there's just Jude 6 there.
We have figure 6.
Yeah. Genesis chapter 6. I know I'm going quick here. Isaiah 27:2. And one last one. Isaiah chapter 22, I think is the last one I gave you. 1 Corinthians 6:3 tells us that we believers will be judging at this judgment. That's interesting. We will judge angels.
Finally, we get to judge something.
Yeah. And then number 7. I'm going to try to wrap this up fairly quick. God's judgment on the unsaved dead. Now, this is commonly called the Great White Throne Judgment. Now, there is a common misconception that believes that if you are in this judgment, you're toast. But that is not true. That is not true at all. So, in the Old Testament, it talks about a book of life. In the Old Testament, you could be blotted out of the book. Moses and David both talked about God blotting them out. In fact, David goes, "Do not blot me out of your book." Saul was blotted out. He lost his salvation. Okay. Hence, in the Old Testament, there's no eternal security. In the New Testament, there's the Lamb's Book of Life. So there's going to be some books opened during this one. The Old Testament and the New Testament. In the New Testament, you cannot be blotted out. So God will judge these people, whoever's at this, with His truth, which is the Bible. The unsaved people have no hope. The righteous people from the Old Testament, tribulation, and millennium do. So basically, they'll get saved at this judgment. They will not get thrown into the lake of fire because they'll find their name written in the book of life. So, where does an Old Testament saint get judged at? At the Great White Throne Judgment. Okay. Where do the people in the millennium get judged at? At this judgment. And where do the people in the tribulation get judged at? In this judgment. Okay. Now, I'm not going to be super dogmatic that the people that make it through the tribulation may get judged along with when Jesus is dealing with the Gentile nations when he comes back. I mean, that's a possibility, but I don't think so. I think all of these people will be judged at this point. Now, we as a Christian, as a born again believer living in the age of grace, were judged when we accepted Christ as our Savior. That was it. Okay. All right. So this probably gives you all kinds of questions. The Great White Throne judgment is a judgment that if you've obeyed the Lord and done what He said, then you'll make it through it. But then if you're a lost person during this church age, that's when you'll be judged also. So the lost people now will be judged at this one. And of course, if they have not accepted Christ, they have to pay their own judgment. And their own judgment will be, the penalty will be thrown into the lake of fire. Okay, so let's pray. So judgments are a big deal. We should be concerned about them, even though our judgment, number one, as a sinner, has been taken care of. So it's kind of like, whew, we're past that, you know. But everybody else, and yet we're still judged for our service. So it's still a big deal. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for loving us. I pray that you'd help us see these judgments and not just take ours for granted, Lord, but also realize that lost people will come before you and give an account of their life. And without accepting Christ, they will be judged for their decision. And that's not going to be a good decision. So, Lord, I pray that you would give us the words to say to the people that we know that are lost. And, Lord, we just pray that people that we know, people that we love, people that we care about will come to the truth and accept you as Savior. So we just pray that today and help us to be aware of that. And help us not to take our salvation for granted, but to live our life for you. And in Christ's name, amen. We will not have class for 2 weeks. So if you have a question on this, just hold off for 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
We'll get it done. But no, you can text me, call me, whatever.